A few weeks ago, I asked Congressman James Clyburn, the third-ranking Democrat in the House of Representatives, where in the Constitution is the federal government authorized to regulate health care? He replied by telling me essentially that members of Congress really don't care about the Constitution. They write the laws that they think will get them reelected, and then they let the courts worry about whether the new laws are constitutional. Of course, when the justices of the Supreme Court, who take their oaths to uphold the Constitution far more seriously than do members of Congress, invalidate legislation that exceeds Congress's powers, you can hear the howls of complaints all the way from Hoboken to Malibu. And the liberals in government and in academia seem to forget that frequently conservative and libertarian justices have saved us from the tyranny of the majority. Here to discuss the role of the courts in our system of government is Damon Root, associate editor of Reason Magazine, who recently demolished a liberal icon, Professor James McGregor Burns, in a review of Professor Burns' new FDR-worshipping book about hacking the court. Damon, it's a pleasure. Welcome to Freedom
Watch. Thank you very much for having me.
First, a little bit of background, and give me your take on this. FDR comes in. He has the huge majorities. He wants to change the world. He wants to change the relationship of the federal government to individuals on an economic basis. Sound familiar?
Yep.
Gets a lot of legislation through Congress, and much of it is found unconstitutional by a Supreme Court that says there's no authority in the Constitution for this. What's his reaction? What is this court packing?
Well, his reaction is that the Constitution just can't stand in the way of the New Deal. He talks about a horse and buggy interpretation of the Constitution, that the 19th century views that economic liberty, that limited government matter, he said those are out the door. So what he's going to do is essentially pack the Supreme Court, put forward legislation that would allow him to appoint new justices who are going to agree with him and uphold the New Deal for every justice who is over 70 and won't retire. So retire, get off the court, let me put my people on, and then, you know, it'll all be rosy.
All right, so instead of a court of nine, which we have had almost our entire history, and certainly in modern times, he wanted a court of 15, which would guarantee him that he would always win.
That's correct.
And as a result of this, some people did retire or did resign, and he did get to appoint people to the court who basically did agree with him. But what of the concept of judicial review? Where does the court get its power from to say to the Congress, you know what, that statute that you wrote saying it's unconstitutional to have illegal guns within 1,000 feet of a school, saying it's unlawful to have a gun within 1,000 feet of a school, that's unconstitutional because there's nothing in the Constitution that lets you regulate school safety.
Well, that's right. Article 3 of the Constitution grants what's called the judicial power to the Supreme Court and other federal courts. And the founders understood the judicial power to mean the power of judicial review, which is to strike down, to nullify unconstitutional laws.
So
it's right there.
The liberals really want a view, and key, sometimes conservatives have fallen into this trap as well, that if the majority wants it, the majority gets its way. But the majority can be tyrannical, can't it, without an independent judiciary to push back?
It's my view that the Supreme Court has been at its best historically when it's standing up for individual rights, for the rights of unpopular minorities against this tyranny of the majority. And if you look at some of the worst Supreme Court cases in history, it's precisely when the court didn't do that, when the court was restrained, when the court was not active, when it was not engaged, doing its constitutional duty and striking down bad laws.
One of my favorite quotations is from a very liberal Harvard Law School professor, Larry Tribe, and I think I'm paraphrasing him, but not misleading, when he said the whole purpose of an independent judiciary is to be anti-democratic, to preserve the liberty and the property of the minority. Otherwise, there would be nothing to prevent a majority in the Congress from taking your property or your freedom away from you by a simple majority vote.
That's right. And, you know, liberals understand this sometimes. When it's a conservative president, when it's George W. Bush or someone they disagree with, or conservative Congress, suddenly they want the Supreme Court to step in and say, no, no, state laws banning and regulating abortion, you strike those down. Laws restricting privacy, the right to use a contraceptive, strike those down. So both sides are hypocritical about this.
You and I believe that we have natural rights, that rights that come from our humanity, and that the government has an obligation to protect those rights, whether they're written down or not.
Correct.
Suppose some maniacal wave of anti-free speech sentiment swept over the country, and the Constitution was actually amended to rescind the First Amendment, would we still have the right to free speech?
I'll give you two answers to that. One is that, of course, we have a natural right to free speech that predates the Constitution. So, yes, we possess that. But also, the Ninth Amendment to the Constitution says that the enumeration of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. So just because the Constitution doesn't explicitly spell out every right we still have them. Those are our natural rights, and the government has no business taking those away.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's an obscure part of the Constitution, but it's very important. And when I had that conversation that I mentioned in the introduction to your segment with Congressman Clyburn, after he said, we don't really worry about the Constitution, he said to me, you tell me, Judge, where health care is prohibited to the federal government in the Constitution. They seem to forget, the big government people in both parties, that the Ninth and Tenth Amendments taken together stand for the proposition that if the power is not given to the federal government, or just because the right is not specifically enumerated, that doesn't mean that the federal government can legislate in that area. It means that that area is reserved to the individual or to the states.
That's right. There needs to be, Randy Barnett calls this, a presumption of liberty. When we go into a piece of legislation, the presumption should be on the side of the individual rights and liberty. The government needs to justify everything it does, and we need to hold them accountable. Obviously, the court should do this, and members of Congress should do this, too, that they say, we'll let the courts take care of this.
Unfortunately, the presumption is the other way around.
It's the other way around.
You know this, and you know that I know this from my prior life. The presumption is that whatever the legislature has enacted, whatever the executive wants to enforce, is valid.
Right.
I couldn't agree with you and Professor Barnett more. The government should always have to prove morally, naturally, and constitutionally, how it can take away our freedom, how it can compel certain behavior, how it can punish certain behavior before the courts can even consider whether the law should be enforced as the government wants. What do you say?
That's absolutely correct. I agree with that 100%.
Damon Root, it's a pleasure. Thanks for joining us on Freedom Watch. You can catch today's show at foxnews.com/freedomwatch. And on Sirius 145, XM 168, or online at foxnewstalk.com at 6 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays. From New York, defending freedom. Until the next time, stay free.